Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IG Petrochemicals Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. This conference may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pramod Bhandari. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, dear friends. On the behalf of IGPL, I extend a warm welcome to everyone for joining us on our call today. Unfortunately, Mr. Nikhil Dhanuka, Managing Director and CEO, could not participate in this call due to really extremely bad throat. So on that behalf, I welcome you once again. On this call, we are joined by SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results and the investor presentations which were uploaded on the stock exchange and our company website. To begin with, I will give you a quick overview of the recent development in the chemical industry, followed by operating and financial performance of IG Petrochemical. In terms of industry overview, in the financial year 22, as you are aware that the price of all the key raw materials followed by the crude oil has been very volatile and soared rapidly due to the various factors like global supply chain disruption, unprecedented events like cyclone at few developed countries, and the war between Russia and the Ukraine. Global logistic charges have increased dramatically in the past 2 years, and preference for domestic players have been rising up quite sharply. A domestic player like IGPL, who is strategically located near to the clients and vendor, had a minimum impact on their business and gained the credibility of being a reliable partner. The ecosystem of Indian chemical industry has changed fundamentally, led by a significant reforms in the policy across the various industries. IGPL is a 3-decade-old organization, is a part of Dhanuka Group. We are one of the largest producers and world third largest producer of thalicandrite. Thalicandrite is a downstream product of orthoxylene. The consumption of palm and its derivatives is growing rapidly over the past few years. The consumption of thalicandrite was historically concentrated in the paint, plasticizer and CPC. We have witnessed a lot of changes in the last few years, and many other industries have increased the application of PAN. PAN is now used widely, not only for the paint, plasticizer, but also in the specialty chemical, agrochemical, specialized polymers, electric and electronic products, insect repellents, and polystyrene polypropylene, etc. It is also being innovatively used for the making plastic currency, paper boards, laser boards, sale of windmill, etc. This industry is primarily served by a very few players, not only in India, but globally. We manufacture this product at a high scale with a capacity of 222,000 tons per annum. This capacity is managed by a highly skilled manpower and with high quality control checks. Due to the high growth in the end user industry, the thalicandrite is no longer a pure commodity product like basic chemical, but a semi-commodity product like a basic chemical. It is gradually moving towards the necessary chemical which are in demand, and visibility is looking very high. We have 4 key products in our portfolio. Apart from phthalic, we also produce malic anhydride, benzoic acid and DEP. We have 4 units of manufacturing facilities at Taloja. Currently, we have a capacity of 7,666 tons of the malic anhydride and 1,300 metric tons of the benzoic acid. Another key development is that we have commissioned the expansion of our new downstream product DEP. We have added a 8,400 ton of capacity at Taloja, Maharashtra. This product is primarily used in the industries like incense sticks, personal care products like cosmetics, formulation, toiletries, plastics. In the financial year 2022, around 120 crore of the revenue is contributed by non-thalic products, which include malic anhydride, benzoic acid, DEP and others. Let me talk about the expansion. The board of directors has given their approval for the expansion of thalic anhydride with a brownfield capacity of 53,000 tons at Taloja. The expansion is estimated to cost around 350 crore and is targeted to complete by March 2024. Post PFIF, our total capacity of thalic will increase to 275,000 tons. We also wish to expand our downstream derivatives and plan to expand our footprint in Indian and domestic export market, which will not only improve our operational leverage but also boost our profitability. Objective of this expansion is to diversify and increase the revenue pie of downstream products and other derivatives. In terms of the financial performance, we have recorded the highest ever annual performance both in terms of revenue and profitability, continuing with the growth momentum from the preceding years. We continue to maintain a high growth trajectory of the PAN and MAN businesses. For the quarter ended FY22, the total revenue and other income has stood at 519 crore. EBITDA for the quarter was 115 crore. EBITDA margin stood at 12% because supported by the better product mix and the better spread between OX and PAN. Profit stood at 73 crore for the quarter. Profitability is strictly not comparable with the Q4 FY21 because we have taken a 1 month shutdown for one of the PA unit for change in catalyst during the Q4 FY22, which impacted not only the PA volume but also the MA volume also. Plus, that has resulted into higher expenses on account of repair and maintenance and the fuel charges for ramping up the unit post-expansion, post-change in the catalyst. For FY22, total revenue stood at 1,892 crore, a growth of 68% on year-on-year basis. Domestic market contributed roughly 85 to 90%, wherein the international market contributed around 10 to 15%. Revenue from non-thalic product has contributed around 120 crore against the 54 crore for last year. This includes revenue from malic, benzoic acid and DEP. EBITDA stood at 416 crore, which is all-time high in the history of IG, a growth of 37%. EBITDA stood at around 22%. Net profit for FY22 stood at 267 crore, a growth of 41%. Overall, the robust performance during the year has been strengthened our balance sheet and cash flow. We are pleased to share that balancing position is very strong and we are net debt zero company. Our capex for PFIF will be around 350 crore, which will be partially funded through internal accrual and the bank borrowings. In terms of the long term, we continue to explore the opportunity in the downstream derivatives, chemicals, chemicals with similar chemistry and other specialty chemical to diversify our overall product portfolio. We believe that we have laid a strong foundation for future by focusing on the long-term growth in the end user application market. To reiterate, our long-term goal is to become a well-diversified chemical company with a leadership position in the core business. We will diversify our business product range by expanding into various downstream derivatives, chemicals, and especially chemicals to meet our vision to generate 30% revenue from non-thalic product by 2025. Given the company's strong performance, the board of directors has recommended a dividend, final dividend of 10 rupees per share, equivalent to 100% to reward our shareholders. With this, I conclude my presentation and open the floor for question answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
So my first question is, you mentioned in your opening remarks that there has been an increase in the operating cost this quarter. So as we can found out, so on a sequential basis, your operating cost has gone up from 57 crores to almost 68 crores this quarter. So if you can just quantify in terms of how much was due to the change in catalyst and how much was because of the increase in the fuel cost, what you mentioned.
So overall, because of the fuel and change in catalyst, there are 12 to 15 crore was increased during the quarter. But as you are aware that we have 4 thalic plant and we need to change the catalyst every 3 years. So every year there is 1 or 2 plant where there will be a change in the catalyst. This year, for the full financial year, we have changed the catalyst for 2 plants. So this quarter is the reflection of the one shutdown taken for the change in catalyst of PA1, which was roughly, including the fuel cost, is around 10 to 12 crore rupees.
Okay. And in Q4, if you can just mention how much was our MA as well as the benzoic acid sales for Q4?
So benzoic acid was around 4 to 5 crore and malic acid was around 104 crore.
Okay, this is for the full year, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about full year.
Okay, so balance would be the DEP sales.
Correct. DEP was 4 to 5 crore.
Okay. Okay.
So basically, for the year, the Malic sale was 104 crore rupee. And the DP is just started recently. So we are just able to ramp up the capacity. You will see the true reflection of the revenue from DP from next year onwards. For the entire 3 to 4 months, there was a total sale of 5 crore for DP for FY22.
Got it. And sir, you mentioned that in Q4 we had taken the shutdown. So how much was the production impact in Q4? And if you can mention for the full year utilization for Thalic, that would be helpful, sir.
It's typically 5 to 7% production impact for the quarter. It was generally 51,000, 52,000. It was 45 to 46.
Okay.
For the year, we are expecting, like, we have capacity of 222. Again, we will be taking the shutdown for one of the unit for change in catalyst during the year, which has not been yet decided.
Yeah.
But typically, we are going to cross between 2 lakh to 2,10,000 ton of the Thalic production and around 6,000 to 6,500 ton of the Malic production.
This is for FY23 you are mentioning.
Yeah.
But for FY22, what was the utilization rate or what was the production?
I will not be able to give you direct quantity, but generally the utilization is between 90 to 95%.
Got it.
Except the DP, which has just started ramping up.
Correct. Got it, sir. Thank you so much for the answer.
Thank you.
I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Dhaval Shah from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, typically the ratio of MAN to PAN is around 3.5% in terms of volume. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah, you're right. Okay. 3.5 to 4%. Depend upon the quarter where you are taking shutdown, then it is slightly lower. Generally, 3.5 to 4%.
Agreed. Now, between FY20 to FY22, 3 year period, our non-PAN revenue has increased from 4.2 to 6.37. Now, is this because of a the rate at which the prices have changed of non-PAN products different over the 3 year period, or there is some new product which have been added which is leading to this?
It's a combination of both, because what happened is when we completed the PA4 unit, then it had added around 1500 ton of Malic into the production also. So first, there is an overall quantum change in the Malic. Then there is an overall better realization in the Malic. Then there is an addition to the benzoic oxide, which was also undergo change by 30% because of the expansion of PA4 unit. And then a new product being added like DEP. DEP, of course, is very small right now. It's like 4 to 5 crore rupee. You will see the annualized 60 to 70 crore rupee next year for the DEP. So the combination of these three products, and then there are other revenues, all put together become 120 crore.
Okay. And sir, what will be the ratio of benzoic acid to PAN capacity? Is there a relation?
It's very small. I think 0.2, 0.3%. Very small, negligible.
0.2, 0.3%. Okay, fine. And this shutdown which we took in the quarter, so generally every quarter, every year there will be, as you said, every 3 years needs to be changed. So it's a regular, it's business as usual, right? There's nothing
It is a business as usual. And every year we need to change the catalyst for one unit. But since we have a 4 plant now, so in a particular year, it will be twice out of 3 years.
Got it. And the last question, sir, in our past conversation, we had discussed about the newer application of malic anhydride, which were happening in China for recycled plastic. So, could you throw some light on it? What is the development on that? Yeah.
Basically, what is happening is, historically, it is used for 2 to 3 sectors. Now, we are catering to more than 15 to 20 sectors. A lot of specialty chemicals, agrochemicals, specialized plastics, engineered plastics, specialty films, a lot of new industries are being added. So not only the existing guys are expanding their capacity, but because a lot of new industries are being added as a consumer of phthalic. So it's not remain a commodity, it's now become a semi-commodity chemical. The usage has been increased rapidly, and now typically 75% to 80% of the chemical industry will supply our product.
Okay, okay. But anything in particular, because you were quite positive about this recycled plastic application, because there were specific maleic anhydride capacities being put up in China for this application, as China had some single-use plastic policy by 25
yeah,
or
that,
something.
That China is getting into the big way in maleic, because maleic has a great future. That a lot of things from the derivatives of maleic being generated, like PBAT, PBT, which is basically a disposable plastic which actually evaporated in the environment in 6 to 9 months. So a lot of
Correct.
Countries where they have implemented single-use plastics are getting into the maleic and downstream applications.
Okay, okay. An application of PAN in road construction, anything on that?
I think PAN, if you look at the PAN, it is being used at various places. In India, we call it UPR. It is used 1 or 2% in the UPR. While in developed countries, 25% of phthalic goes into the
Correct.
UPR, which is used in the dam, roads, bridges. In India, it has not taken off. And even the lot of pipelines, if you see the underground pipelines in India, water pipeline, 80% are corroded because they have been built between 90, 40, 50 and 60. For that, government needs to change the policy. Then somebody will be able to build pipes based on the UPR, which has a shelf life of between 100 to 125 years. So that will be a big trigger for the purpose of usage. In India, it has not yet started.
And sir, just in my channel checks, there is some pressure. There is a demand sort of demand destruction which has happened because of the high prices of various commodity, including PAN. So in that scenario, how is export as an opportunity for us? Are we able to divert our volumes to the export market?
So typically, generally, we try to first satisfy the domestic market and then balance 10 to 15% we export. But we export also for the purpose so that it is a diversification of overall portfolio. Typically, in last 9 months, we have seen such a strong demand in India. Typically, historically, we were selling 20% in export market. But last quarter, if you see the 90% in the domestic market, not only the existing guys are expanding their capacity, but because of China plus theme, lot of guys are getting into lot of specialty chemicals. And this is, they are getting into that chemical or chemistry first time. They also need the phthalic. So for us, we try to sell more and more into domestic market, because first you need to fulfill the demand of domestic market. Even today, when we are selling in domestic market, 8 to 10,000 ton is imported by India every month. Still 1 lakh ton to 1 lakh 20,000 ton is imported by India of phthalic anhydride. We believe that we need to maintain a fair balance. Having said that, we still maintain to have a 10 to 20% export market share.
Okay, okay. So your FY22, you exported 10%, 20% quantity.
No, we exported 15% for last quarter. It was 10%.
Okay, Q4 was 10%. Otherwise, FY20 was 15%. 9 months.
Correct.
And historically, you were doing 20%.
Correct. So more and more, because the domestic demand is very strong, and it's very difficult to import because of logistics, other lot of other issues. So we believe it's first as a duty to supply to the domestic market, and then you need to look at the export.
Sir, what will be the entry barrier for a new player to come? Because it's a two-player industry in India, quite strong, both of you. So and a very lucrative opportunity as well. So is there an entry barrier in terms of feedstock availability, in terms of...
I think there are two ways to look at that. When the margins remain good or decent, because now it becomes a semi-commodity rather than a commodity, margin remain good. I think there are two things. First is the chemistry. It's not like a normal steel or cement plant where you set up and you start production. The chemistry is typical and very crucial. It's not possible for everybody to manage for all chemistry. So that is one, because it's like a refinery. Everybody with the money can't set up the refinery. It's a similar case. Unless you have experience and exposure of operating that plant, it is not possible for somebody to only set up that plant. Second, the sourcing strategy. You need to be clear about the sourcing of the raw material and the final product. And third, it's up to certain extent, the margin remain in a range and fluctuation is there because of the semi-commodity nature. But you have seen in last 6 to 7 quarters, there is a lot of stability in the IGPL performance because we are able to diversify and the usage of the phthalic has gone beyond 5 to 10 industries. Now it is more than 20 industries we are supplying.
Okay, so that means you are largely, you would... you mean that margin should remain sustainable at least in the near, at least in the medium to long?
Margin, we expect that margin to remain sustainable. I'm not saying expect, right now it's between 200 to 250, but 150 to 250 is the fair range for last 10 year average.
Sorry, I didn't understand this. 150?
I'm saying right now margin is around $200 to $250. But we believe that this is the fair range because in last 10 year average, the margin is between $200 to $250.
Okay.
And with higher demand and increased usage, we expect that margin to remain at similar level.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Tanush Mehta from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have a couple of questions. My first question pertains to that. So we mentioned that the industry usage, you know, is widely spreading and now we are catering to almost 20 industries. So, sir, which industry is showing maximum traction? And through which we can not only have some margin comfort, but even sales comfort.
So I think, let me attack your question first. I think in phthalic, sales is not a challenge. It's always about the pricing. If you're able to get a better realization, because India is deficit. In any case, sales is going to happen because all the guys or industries who are using the phthalic, they need the phthalic. Phthalic is a product, it's like paint used 35 types of chemical. They use only 2.5% of the phthalic. But question is, can you produce the paint without phthalic? Answer is no. So whoever requires phthalic, they need to use the phthalic for the purpose of operating of their plants. First question which you ask is the usage. Actually, traditionally, it has been a paint, plasticizer and pigments, one of the three biggest industries. Now we have seen a lot of traction from the UPR side. Specialty chemical, agrochemical, and a lot of specialty chemicals are coming up. Lot of chemical companies who are in a simple chemistry or normal chemistry, they are getting into the various specialty chemicals. As the global market is looking for, or global corporates are looking for China plus one, they wanted to diversify their supply base in terms of sourcing of chemicals. So a lot of Indian players are getting into different chemistry. They all need phthalic. So for us, the area which is the growing very well is the paint. Plasticizer is continued to grow because apart from Asian Paint, Berger Paint, Navarro, a lot of other paint companies are coming up in the market or started to going to have a production of paint. So paints will remain the largely the best. Second is the plasticizer. In terms of the new industry, I think it is the specialty chemical, UPR and agrochemicals. These are the three emerging industries where the growth is very good and expected to remain very good.
Thank you for a detailed answer. So my other question pertains to that over the past several years, thylic and especially our company margins and earnings have been quite volatile. It's because of the industry nature and the commodity. So what has changed over the last few years or maybe, few quarters that we are confident that not only our spread will remain stable, but it's maybe it's something through which we can see a safety in margins as well.
So basically, earlier I mentioned that historically it was a commodity chemical. Now it become a semi-commodity because usage is not limited to paint, plasticizer and pigment. Like if you look at the specialty chemical companies, agrochemical companies, the UPR companies, the specialty film companies, they are getting into different chemistry where they have a different margin scenario. When you are supplying to so diverse range of your industries and customers, then your profitability need to be sustainable. compared to depend on one or two industries. That is number one. Number second, for IG specifically, when you have two plant, three plant, four plant, all plant at single location and they are completely integrated, then you get the advantage of operating efficiency and your operating cost will be much lower than compared to any other player. That is second. And third is the diversification. We are looking for diversification. Now we're getting into Malik, now getting into DP. We are evaluating other opportunities also to diversify into other downstream specialty chemicals. So as we diversify, you will see much and more stability in the earning. First, the change in the nature of the phthalic from commodity to semi-commodity. Second is the diversification. And third, because of the wide uses of the phthalic by the various industries, that has given us a confidence that fairly all the margins which we are looking at. If you look at IG for last 6 quarters, we are generating more than 50 crore PAT. Mm-hmm. Not one quarter, last 6 quarters, consistently. That is a testimony of the fact that there is a sustainability in the margin now.
Thank you, sir. And just I would want to ask you one last question.
Yeah.
Can you throw some light on the competition? So any new capacities that you see are coming up or...
IG is setting up 53,000 ton. I understand that Thirumalai is also setting up around 80 to 90,000 ton, which will be online by next 2 to 3 years by IG for 24. And one new player I heard that KLJ is also setting up. But I think that capacity mostly in-house because they consume 1 lakh ton, they are setting up 80,000 ton. That will be in-house. Now, today, Indian demand has crossed 5 lakh ton. It's growing at 7 to 8%. Every year you need 50 to 60,000 ton of the new capacity. And since the usage has gone up beyond 4 to 5 industries, now 10 to 15 to 20 industries. So you continue to see the growth in line with the GDP growth or slightly higher than the GDP growth. Second, India today is also necessitated by 1 lakh to 1 lakh. We bought together produce around 320, 330. India is demand is by 5 lakh ton. And you need to reduce the export which we are doing. Then India is today deficit by 150,000 ton. Whatever new capacity is coming online in next 3 to 4 years, by that time you will see the demand is crossing 6 lakhs to 6,50,000 ton. So India expected to in next 4 to 5 years remain deficit of this product. There may be some time when it may be equivalent to, but I expect that it remain deficit till 2030.
Okay. So sir, can we grow by, let's say, more than 25% for the next 5-6 years?
So right now, I will not be able to comment on that specifically because right now, PA5 is under implementation and we are evaluating 2 to 3 projects. If we are able to implement out of 3-2, then we may be growing probably next 5 to 6 years, 20 to 25%. And IGPL is in very strong position today. We have around cash on the balance sheet as of March, around 225 crore cash. We are net debt zero company. And sufficient cash is available to fund our expansion project.
Thank you, sir, for the detailed answer and wish you good luck for the coming quarters and hope we
thank you
the numbers as you've shared
with. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aditya Ketan from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on the non-phthalic anhydride business front. So for this fiscal, there was a 120 crore of revenue. But sir, if we look at the number, so roughly around 50 to 60 crore of this number was from the malic anhydride realization because they
yeah,
they
went
up by roughly 50-60%.
You are right. 100 crore plus was on malic.
Correct. So suppose, sir, if this thing normalizes and DEP goes up for the next year, so what could be the sustainable number for the non-phthalic anhydride business we can take for FY23 and FY24?
Based on the today's production and based on the today's operating plant, I'm not talking about PFIR, it will be between 100 to 140 crore annualized basis.
Okay. 100 to 140 crore.
Yeah.
Okay, and this can be maintained. So 120, suppose if there is a dip
so,
in the malic.
So let me explain you, because today we have on DP front only 5 crore. DP is expected to just 70 to 75 crore. If you add that, it will be coming around 160 to 170 crore. Even if the Merrick number goes down by 10, 20 crore, it will remain between 130 to 150 crore. That is the reason I have given you the range.
Correct, correct. So this number would be maintained for the next 2 to 3 years. Okay.
Correct.
Sir, second, on the expansion front, in the PA5 expansion, what we are doing, are we adding a new ATP plant also for that?
No. We, along with the PA5, we have set up a ATP plant for all the 5 plants together. We spend around 35 crore on the ATP, which ensure that all PA5 plants are remain connected with that ATP and we remain a zero discharge facility.
Okay, okay. The third question is on the employee cost front. So for this quarter, on a sequential basis, so there's a decline of 12% in employee costs. Is there any specific reason or one-off into that thing which we are...
No. When you are comparing for the corresponding previous quarter, in the previous quarter, there was a settlement with some of the workers. That has resulted into the higher cost. Otherwise, this quarter is a normalized cost for the company.
Okay, okay. Sir, one last question. Sir, considering for the next 2 years, sir, we are, so we would not, apart from the DEP plant, so we would not be having any sort of volume growth from the thalicanhydride and from the malicanhydride. Apart from that, we are sitting on top of the spreads. So for the next 2 years, what do you see as the growth driver? Like,
growth driver will be two. First, the Malic, we have yet not reached to the potential of our capacity in Malic. We are around 20% lower than our capacity in Malic. So that is the chance for us to improve the Malic capacity and Malic production. Second, the DP, we have just clocked 4 to 5 crore for the last year because it has started recently. So it will grow up to 60, 70 crore. Then we are also looking for debottlenecking of the Malic for the DEP, which will increase the capacity from 8,400 to 12,000 to 13,000 tons. So that can add another 60 to 70 crore. But that is under evaluation. We will do it at some time. It will take some time.
Correct, sir. But sir, for the next 2 years, so this 400 crore of EBITDA could be sustained. So considering if the spreads go down and there is no volume growth on the big business like the PAV, on the PAN and the Malic Anhydride. So still this EBITDA figure of 400 crore can be sustained for the next 2 years, that I want to show.
Yeah. It is 100% because we are expecting that right now, like margin is between around 200 to 250. And if it remains in the same range, we will be having 50 crore plus PAT consistently.
Okay.
Which will give you a EBITDA between 350 to 400 crore.
Okay. And so just one last thing, sir. What is your basis of saying this? This thalicanhydride as a semi commodity? Because sir, still we are witnessing that the prices are quite volatile and the end users also are quite diversified. So what makes a case for a semi commodity kind of?
I will tell you that. Typically, historically, when we look at, there are only 2 to 3 segments. We are catering around 70 to 80%. Today, our more than 40%, 30 to 40% of product goes into the industries which were not historically we are supplying to. Since it has gone into the specialty chemical, agrochemical, specialty films, and a lot of other chemistries, engineered plastics, electric vehicles, electronic components, the list has been quite big. So because that diversification happened in terms of the overall players, and diversify in terms of the number of players we are supplying to. That has given us a confidence that now we are not dependent on one or two industries. Since you are supplying to so many industries, it gives us a confidence to sustainability of the margin. Because every industry is making different margin. Paint margin is different than plasticizer. Specialty chemical have a different margin. Agrochemical have a different margin. So we need to look at from the industries which we are supplying to. If we are supplying to so diverse industry, so whether one industry have a bad time or good time, it doesn't naturally have a direct impact on the company profitability.
Okay.
You are able to manage your price and the margin in a better way compared to when you depend on one or two industries. That is why I am saying that it's now not a commodity chemical, it's a semi-commodity chemical.
Sir, just a contra point if I can give you. Sir, if now the end users have diversified, So don't you think that that actually doesn't count under the specialty definition, because a specialty application so which is used for only one set of end user industries, whereas you are talking that the end user in industries has been diversified. So that makes it as a more commodity thing rather than a...
No, because I can tell you today, I think 70% of the specialty chemical in India we supply our product. That is sufficient to indicate how diversified it become now.
Okay.
The diversification is not because of the fact that you are supplying to one or two. There, the specialty chemical company, I don't mean to say that we are supplying to. I mean to say they get into a lot of new chemistries where they need this chemical.
Okay.
In that sense, when we are supplying it to them, and once you get into a new chemistry, then you need that phthalic anhydride as a derivative or intermediary on consistent basis. Suppose somebody is setting up X plant for some product, which is say engineered plastics, and if they are buying 20-30% of the phthalic of that plant requirement, then it is forever. So as you grow in your specialty chemical business and new chemical, and once you start using that, so the question is, once you start using that, can you stop? No. Once you start using that, then it will be a cumulative effect on the overall demand of the chemical. That is the reason I am saying it is diversified and consistent diversification we have seen.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Sir, just one more last question if I can squeeze in. Sir, on the top line front, so definitely in this quarter, the revenue has gone up by 20% on YY basis. So this was largely led by the increase in the PAN realization. Because of the Russia-Ukraine war has started in the mid of Feb, and from there all the commodity prices has started to shoot up. So current PAN prices, what we were witnessing, that was around 100 to 105 rupees a kilo. So sir, what makes you think that so these PAN prices could be sustained or can it go back to its previous levels of 80 to 85 rupees a kilo where they were
Let's look at from that point of view. We are not worried about whether PAN prices are 100, 105, 110. We are just looking at the margin. Even if the PAN prices are 80 and our margin remain $200 to $250, then we are okay. Because you always look at the revenue from the point of view of the margin. Because the prices are higher, the margin looks low. So we are always looking at the margin point of view. If we are able to have a margin of around $200 to $250, profitability will remain intact. Even if your revenue is say 1600 crore, your PAT remain higher than the 200 crore, we are fine with that. Because ultimately you need to look at the margin. It's all chemicals or petrochemical companies, are their revenue are linked with the crude derivatives, because ultimately OX and phthalic is also crude derivatives. So if the price has gone down, we are not worried about that. So long as margin remains intact, we are able to sustain this type of margin.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all for me.
Yeah.
We have the next question from the line of Yogesh from Arihant Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. My first question basically is, there's an increase in other expenses. So just to confirm, this was related to the shift in the catalyst cost. Is it because of that?
Yeah, it's a change in the catalyst which resulted into the two, first repair and maintenance cost, and second the fuel charges. Because when you take the shutdown for the change in catalyst, then you need to use fuel, which is the fuel oil and the diesel for ramp up. As you know, the prices are at all time high. So that has resulted into the extra expenses.
So what would be the contribution of the change in this catalyst to the increase in the expenses for the quarter?
When the catalyst is changed, the cost is divided into the period of 3 years in line with the life of that, but the fuel charges are debited directly to the P&L. So its total cost which has gone into the P&L is 10 to 12 crores for the quarter.
Sure. And the other one is like there is a slight increase in the effective tax rate for the quarter. So any reason for the same?
It's just because of some of the investments in the treasury we have done. That is taxed at a different rate. That is the reason. Otherwise, our effective tax rate for the business operation remains intact at 25%. There are some investments which we have done that has around 35% to 40% interest tax rate specific for these investments options. That is why the rates looks to be different. Otherwise, it's 25%.
Oh, sure. And the third one basically is that the new plant, PA plant, will be coming in around March 2024.
Correct.
So how much time does it take to reach full capacity? How much months does it?
2 to 3 months. That is what our historical rate remains.
2 to 3 months. And how much capacity can we increase through debottlenecking?
Debottlenecking of, you are talking about men?
Yes. For the next year, we had a target of debottlenecking. So, what would be...
I think we, right now, we are looking for phthalic capacity to increase to 275 from 222. Malic capacity will increase from 7,600 to around 9,100, around 1,500 to 1,600 tons. Benzogacin from 1,000, it will go between 1,200 to 1,300. The DP capacity, which is roughly 8,400 tons today, it may increase to 10 to 12,000 ton, but that decision is yet to be taken by the management. I'm saying there are chances we can go for debottlenecking. We have yet not decided to take the debottlenecking. But there are options available to do the debottlenecking and increase the capacity. We are in a process right now to set up and establish the market for the DP, this specialized type of DP which we are producing. Once it is settled, then we will go for the debottlenecking.
Sure. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Priyank Chera from Standard Chartered Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. My first question is on if you can share volumes for the Q4 for pan and man both.
Generally, we don't share the volume. I can tell you that we are operating at 92% capacity, and accordingly, you can calculate the value. We generally don't share the volume.
Q4, it was at 92% utilization, including the shutdown that we undertook, right?
Correct.
Okay. And sir, just wanted to understand one clarification. So on EBITDA spreads, which you mentioned, which you explained it very correctly, now, are they generally same for PAN and malic both?
No. Because when the phthalic anhydride you are looking at, then you have the revenue from them and then there is a raw material. Then you calculate the margin. In malic, which is generated from the wastewater, so whatever is the malic sale, except 1 or 2 crore, directly translates to EBITDA because there is no raw material for the malic anhydride. So there is a huge difference between the phthalic EBITDA and malic EBITDA. We don't calculate product-wise EBITDA, but that is the standard format. Because in malic, what is the revenue? 95% to 96% is that EBITDA.
Right. So just to, again, for my understanding, so the EBITDA spreads which you mentioned about $225 to $250 per ton is the blended EBITDA, which we should consider.
Yes.
It, which includes malic sales also.
It includes phthalic, operating efficiency, malic, all put together, and benzogacin also.
Given the diversification and the increased industry demand across PAN, are you witnessing the structural shift in the spread that you make in PAN? Maybe going ahead and considering the fact that you're already operating at optimal utilizations, is there some and there is no supply that is coming up, so should we do we have a scenario where the spreads are likely to go higher now?
I think it's not correct to predict about the spread directly for the quarter to quarter, but on a range for last 10 year average, it was between $200 and $250 per ton. So we wanted to maintain that similar type of spread. We can always give the quantity, that what quantity. We are going to have 90 to 92% capacity utilization for both phthalic, malic plants.
So like these spreads are for last decade, right? That's the average. But the industry structure and the demand, like you mentioned, has undergone a significant change, huge diversification happening within your product basket and also from China plus one
that
demand.
That is in terms of the customer base. Customer base has been quite diversified in last 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
The usage has gone up into various downstream industries like specialty chemical, commodity chemical, UPR and a lot of other new chemicals.
Right. So you explicitly mentioned about the industry demand for PAN. Just wanted to understand the total demand that is available for MAN, Malik. I mean, I understand it's out of total demand would be around 10,000 tons for India.
Total Malik demand is 80,000 tons. We produce roughly 7 to 7,500 tons. 72,000 tons is imported by India. Hello.
And we are the only player who are incrementally adding some capacity. Otherwise, everything is imported.
We are only player in India.
Sorry to interrupt. This is the operator here. Mr. Chheda, kindly go off the speakerphone.
Yeah.
So you may continue.
Yeah. We are the only player who are producing in India. There are other players who produce outside India and import that. Apart from IG, there is no other player who is importing this. There is no other player who is manufacturing the Malik in India.
Okay. If I can squeeze on one more question.
Mr. Chheda, I would request you to kindly come.
Sorry?
You would request to kindly come in the queue for the follow-up questions.
Okay, thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Marcel Lewis from Swastika Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. My first question is that, as you mentioned that DEP current contributes more than 4 to 5 crores. So next year, it's expected to be 60 to 70 crores. So I want to ask that whether we have stabilized the production of DEP so that we can do a run rate of 5 crore approximate per month from April 2020 onwards.
Yeah, we have stabilized that. Your understanding is correct. And that is why we are saying it will be between 60 to 70 crores.
And what kind of EBITDA we are looking at on the DEP?
Between 10% to 15%.
Okay. And sir, my second question that our receivables have increased by 148 crore rupees.
Yeah.
So why such a quantum jump? I hope that if it is all good, then by now it must have been recovered, already received, collected, or is there any chance of any bad debts?
No. So let me explain you why the receivable has gone up. First, our total quantity of the product which we are selling has gone up, number one. Number two, the value. Typically, we were selling between 60 to 80 rupees per kg. Now, we are selling between 110 to 120. The value of the same product has gone up by 30 to 40%, number second. Number third, for some of the key customers for incremental value, we have provided the credit facility. However, we can discount it at any point of time. So that is not a challenge. So that is the reason you are able to see the higher one. When we are talking about all the receivables has been realized and IGPL maintained the history of zero bad debt for last 20 years.
Very good, sir. With respect to EBITDA, although we are consistently maintaining around 100 crore, but if you compare with the last year, the corresponding quarter is down by about 25%. So what kind of EBITDA we are looking at the, for the coming first quarter?
Compared to the last quarter, corresponding last
quarter. Let me repeat. March 21, our EBITDA was 135 crore and now we have 100 crore. So it is less by 35 crore, which is approximately 25%. So I'm asking that EBITDA number we are looking for the June quarter?
Let me explain you. First, the Q4 FY21 versus Q4 FY22. Is not strictly comparable because in Q4 FY22 we have taken a shutdown. So that has reduced the production of phthalic and the revenue of Malik is now also not added. Plus there is extra expenditure of the fuel oil, diesel and repair and maintenance goes into the overall expenditure. That is number one. And number two, the Q4 FY21 there was an absolutely incredible high margin because the COVID has just over. And there was an extraordinary demand for 1 or 2 months. So that is the reason when you look at Q4 FY22, it is extraordinary giving 100 crore PAT. So these were the two reasons. Answering to your second question, we are expecting to maintain the similar type of production going forward in the June quarter. I will not be able to give you the profitability guidance, but in terms of the volume, it will be slightly better than the Q4 because there is no shutdown plant.
Mm-hmm. And so like, although we are net debt zero company, like netted free, but like if you see finance cost, we are still paying about almost 30-40 crore we are paying the finance cost. So what kind of rate we are, effective rate we are paying for the our borrowing, and how much income we are generating from our investment, in percentage wise?
Okay. So first, you should not see the finance cost on a standalone basis, because finance cost is a result of the overall funding you have obtained and the rate you are paying. The next year when we will see, the next quarter we will see, we have done a lot of investment during the March quarter. Our total net cash and investment on the balance sheet as of 31st March is 225 crore, maybe 10 crore plus minus. We have raised the 220 crore debt on the 220 crore tie-up for the PFI. We have only taken the drawdown of 40 crore rupee. Effectively, our cost of debt, including the PF4 debt, is effectively between 4 to 5%. While in the treasury income, we are generating 7 to 7.5% return.
That's very good, sir. And sir, like this PFI plant, which we are implementing now, is there any risk of any delay in terms of the this commissioning time or any cost escalation?
First, in terms of timing, I think March 24 is fairly considering we have taken a buffer of 3 to 4 months. In fact, we are target is to get it completed by December, but I think for all communications, we are very clear, we have mentioned March 24. In terms of the increase in the product cost, since we have given order for most of the equipment which is to be imported, so there is hardly any variation is expected in the overall project cost. If same project you are implementing in a green phase, it will cost you 600 crore.
That's right. But sir, what about this forex hedging? I'm sure that like this adequate forex hedging has been done because now rupee is now really going downwards in terms of any imported equipment.
Let me explain how it works. Because all imported equipments are paid in euro. IGPL sell around 15 to 20% of product in export market. So,
very good.
Our revenue is in export, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, mm-hmm. All the domestic products are linked with the existing exchange rate. If the rate goes from say 75 to 80, we will price our product to our domestic customer based on the 80. Because our raw material is directly linked with the foreign exchange. So whatever EBITDA are making in our balance sheet is a dollar as EBITDA.
Mm-hmm. So, sir, only thing
Let me complete. That extent, we are not impacted and all our exports are 100% hedged.
Very good, sir. Only my last question.
We have seen IGPL. Sir, this is the operator.
Small recommendation. We have seen IGPL from the time of 1990 or maybe early. We have seen it's the poor time, whatever time. Now only one, experience suggestion that I'm sure that our plant is adequately insured in terms of all possible risks, because it's a very complex plant. I have seen that how the company has come for the last 20-25 years, I've been watching it very keenly. When it's used to be 62 rupees only, I remember that. Yeah. So my humble submission that I'm sure that all possible potential risk, maybe any flood is very, very common, because as you know that insurance company are very, very notorious in terms of not to give any claim. So how frequently you are doing the risk audit to make sure that all possible kind of coverage is included in our policy?
So just for your information, IGPL entire complex is fully insured and secured, not only for the normal policy, but also for the LOP, loss of profit also. And all the policies, whether it's a marine policy, stock policy, everything is adequately taken. Don't worry about that.
Thank you.
Yes.
We have the next question from the line of Munzal Shah from Edha Wealth. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, this is with regards to usage of PAN, okay, wherein you have mentioned that, you know, it's moved on from paint and plasticizers, okay, and almost 30 to 40% is now to other sectors actually, okay.
Yeah.
So just wanted to know whether this is manufacturer-led or this is led by the end users.
It's led by the end users.
So you mean to say that the end users are approaching PAN manufacturers, okay, to supply PAN?
No. I will explain. So today when we are supplying it to paint, it's Asian Paint, Budget Paint, plasticizers, there are 2-3 companies. Now there are a lot of specialty chemical company, agrochemical company, specialty films company, specialty UPR company, specialized engineered plastics company, they are approaching and they become our customer. They started with very small quantity, then gradually once they increase the production, they increase the sourcing of PAN from IG Petrochemical. That all happen is because a lot of guys in the global market are looking for China plus one in terms of the diversification of their supply base. So that is the reason a lot of companies get into the different chemistries.
So my question was when are they approaching you or you are approaching them that this is thanalic anhydride, it can be used in your process also?
It is a combination of both, but generally the demand has come from the company.
So they approach you that you supply PAN?
They need PAN.
Obviously, no? So they need PAN. And they were already using imported PAN, and since it was not available imported, now they are approaching domestic manufacturers.
No, they were not using PAN at all, historically. Now they are getting into the chemistry where they need PAN.
Okay. And has PAN been, has substituted some other chemical, or it's been used indigenously in this process?
It's used indigenously.
So it's not substituted any other chemicals.
It has not substituted any other chemical.
Sir, in that scenario, would that assumption be true that as usage of these industries increase, okay, your realizations and margin should also increase significantly?
I think rather than putting in increase the margin, I am saying it is fairly a chances that your profitability margin remains sustainable at a similar level.
So in that scenario, it is better to assume that the volatility in margins would reduce significantly.
Correct. That is the reason I was mentioning in the start of the call. It become now a semi-liquid commodity coming.
And it can only increase subject to demand supply mismatch. Okay. Otherwise, it can remain stable.
Correct. Because in domestic market, demand is very high. And in global market also, because the usage of phthalic per se in the global market has gone so diversified that there are only handful of suppliers are there in the international market for this.
And sir, would the realizations to these new players higher than paints and plasticizer, or it would be similar?
So I think they have not shared the data, but in general, they have a very stable and higher realization compared to the historical one. I'm not comparing with the paints because paints is the best.
So should you get higher realization in case of paint?
No. I'm not talking about my realization.
We are not discussing about IGPL. I'm talking general industry.
General, it all depends upon the type of chemical they are manufacturing. If somebody is manufacturing a chemical which he has a monopoly, nobody else is manufacturing, you will get better price. If somebody is manufacturing a chemical which is having a 3 to 4 players in the market, you will get a reasonable margin. So it all depends upon the type of chemistry, because they never came up to us and shared the chemistry that what they are using for. They never do this because it's their trade secrets.
Sir, really appreciate this. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We have the next question from the line of Tanush Mehta from JM Financial.
So one of my questions just got answered. Just the last thing, sir, if you could throw some lights on. So in the last few years, we've seen a lot of chemical companies, going into chemistries like fluorination, bromination, hydrogenation, etc. So, sir, is our products finding usage in those chemistries as well?
So I can't tell you whether they are using it or not. But I can tell you that a lot of guys are buying where they are using
we are really not keeping a tab on that. Because a lot of specialty companies are buying. Where they are using, we generally don't ask or generally don't share their chemistry where they are using it. But we know certainly that there are guys who are using it for specialty chemical, they are using it for specialty plastics, engineered plastics. That is all we are aware of that. I think the ultimate user is lying with them, and that is, I think, their trade secrets. They know only with themselves. They don't share with any other company.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Dhaval Shah from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Just one question follow up. So if one in FY24, once everything is in our gross block is done with, so at full utilization, our actual sales volume, what we sell outside, will be what? So in PAN, it will be 2,75,000. Am I correct?
Correct.
Then MAN will be 9,160. DEP will be debottlenecking, whatever you do, maybe 10,000-12,000 final capacity, and benzoic will be around 1,300. Am I right?
Correct. Correct.
So this will be the actual what we'll be selling outside.
Correct.
Okay. And assuming the current industry scenario in terms of demand supply stays as it is, so what EBITDA per ton we did at a company level versus what we will do in FY25 once everything is fully utilized, will that be higher or at the same level?
So I think there are two ways to look at that. First, we can always give you a guidance about what is the production. But to say that what will be there in the margin in 25, I think it's too early to predict. But generally, because of the multiple uses by the industries of the phthalic, we see the phthalic demand continue to grow between 6 to 8% and higher also, depend upon the UPR usage in India. So it is fairly correct to assume around $200 to $250 is the industry margin, and then whatever IG is making because of operating efficiency by product, you can add and then calculate it.
Agreed, sir. But jaise abhi, assuming the industry is at the current level in terms of demand supply, assuming that, you know, there is no impact on the pricing and the margin. But given our changing product mix, change in the end application, so I'm trying to understand on that angle.
That angle will give you a more sustainable and continuity in the margin rather than the higher and lower margin.
Achha, it will give more stability to the margin.
Correct.
Okay. Theek hai, sir. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I now hand it over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
My dear friends, India is currently a net importer of phthalic and maleic anhydride and importing around 20% to 25% of the phthalic and around 85% of the maleic. As you are aware, there is ample room for the import substitution. With our additional capacity and technical expertise, we will be positioned to capitalize on this product. We have added a new product to our portfolio like DEP, which will further help us to reach out to the new clients and the new industries. With this, I would conclude this call. If you have any questions, please get in touch with our investor relation advisor, SG. Thank you very much for joining us today on the earning call. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of IG Petrochemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.